How you doing, family? How about if I just give a closing prayer and we go eat? Would y'all be okay with that? Maybe I should call the pastor back. Truly, this house is blessed. Amen. This is for you guys. I sweat water. I don't cry. Sorry, I'm not used to this kind of technology. It's taking me a minute. How many of you have an iPad or a Samsung tablet thing? Raise your hand. Mine's a KJV. So you're going to have to bear with me while I let it log in and then put in my password, because sometimes there's a glitch in it. But it never needs recharging. It always... always an honor to be up here and do the Lord's work. Where's Veronica? I see you. I remember your knowledge you gave to me last time. I am educated solely through the school of JC. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a pastor of any sort, and I will never come up here and tell you, brothers and sisters of mine, that to believe me in what I tell you. You see, because I'm not here to tell you my beliefs and my background. I'm here to tell you the beliefs and backgrounds of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you all have had a great week. Otherwise, none of you all would be here today, right now, this moment. I know that God has brought you here today for a spiritual purpose that only He can reveal to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. But like I said, I'm not here today to tell you what I know and what I think. But I'm up here because I claim the promise of Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power. And get this right here. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Let us pray. Lord, I in my heart am not worthy to be up here, Father, but you need workers. Lord, I am just a sinner. I am willing to be your vessel. That on this Sabbath day, Father God, you pour out the Holy Spirit upon your children. Amen. We are here because we are claiming your promise that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children. Father, how much more will you give of the Holy Spirit when asked of it? And Lord, we are asking for the Holy Spirit at this moment. Because we are here because we need the Holy Spirit. We are here because we need your son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are here because we love you. And we want to be part of your heaven from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. Use me and move me aside, Lord, and just let me be the vessel that you need to speak through me. Let the Holy Spirit move the words, Father, that only you through the Holy Spirit can do. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Like I said, it's a little bright in here, so my eyes start to sweat. Oh, see, sometimes I have to open one page. When you click on there and it opens a couple of pages, you have to close one page with the mouse and then open another page. And this is what happens with your high tech. Amen? I had this sermon ready for over a month. It was in a different name, a different title. Come Wednesday, the Lord impressed upon me to change the title. From the greatest healing we all need to have you found your oil. Turn this one off. Have you found your oil? This isn't about drilling rigs for, they call it black tar or gold, black gold. This is about looking for your oil. But we're going to start off with this story first to get my foundation going. You see, I believe that we've all experienced physical ailment in some way or fashion before we had a spiritual healing. Having a headache is pretty terrible, amen? Having a toothache, I can tell you that's pretty terrible. But having cancer is 100% worse. I've had family that's have sleeping in the grave now because of cancer. Why is that 100% worse? Because death is imminent. The Bible calls death an enemy. Who wants to die? Anybody? Of course, nobody. We all want to keep living like we're not going to die. We know that one day we are going to eventually die. And you see, yes, folks, we know that when we die, Ecclesiastes 9 tells us in verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Verse 6. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy is now perished. Neither they have any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Brothers and sisters, hold tight to that verse. Life here on earth is good. Amen? But life here on earth is only what? Temporary. And we know that there are many Christians who believe that when we die, the dead go to heaven. We know that, right? And I didn't say in this house. We know that many Christians believe that when we die, am I wrong? Or am I right? I can tell you my family believes that, not in this house, but in other beliefs. They believe. My Uncle Jimmy's looking down on me right now. Let's go to the casino. He can help me out. My Aunt Sarah's watching me, guiding me. Oh, it was my cousin Toby when I got in an accident who guided my car away. See, no one wants to die. Everyone wants to keep living. Today, I want to talk to us about someone who was very sick. His body had decayed and he was very close to death. But he preferred a different kind of healing. He knew that life here on earth was temporary. And he went for the one that was better. Yes, brothers and sisters, I mean eternal. That is what we should all go for. Not the better living of life here on earth, but the better living of life in heaven. Let's open our Bible up to the book of Mark, verse chapter 2. And when you get there, say amen. As one of my mentors always says, if you're still looking for it, say, have mercy. In verse 1, and again, he, meaning who? He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Capernaum is a town in the district of what? Of Galilee, where the sea is. You can recall the three known disciples of Jesus. Can you? Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Now, Peter, James, and John. They were fishermen from Galilee. Jesus was present in someone's house in Capernaum in Galilee. So whose house was that? That was the house of Peter. Jesus was teaching in the house of Peter. Page 267, Desire of Ages. You see, rumors spread out quickly that Jesus' presence was in Peter's house. Now, remember when I asked you all who had those smart tablets? Now, back then, they had all that, right? Everyone had something smart like that back then, right? No. Correct. They didn't have any of that. But rumors quickly went about that Jesus was in Peter's house. Back then, in those days, there weren't any cell phones, no smartphones, no iPads, no tablets, no computers. So there was no Instagram, texting, Facebooking. Not even a... What do you call that?
Telegram.
But nonetheless, they had a means of communication. It was so fast. I'm going to tell you how fast it was. It was coconut wireless fast. Everybody in the village knew each other, like we all know each other here. And communication went out fast of Jesus Christ's presence in Peter's house. Well, who did not know Peter's house? In that area, nobody. Nobody. Soon the house was packed with people. Why? Turn with me to Mark 1, verse 40 and 41. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou, what did he say? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. And so we fast forward to Mark chapter 2. You see, because that event that took place before Mark chapter 2, when Jesus healed the incurable disease called leprosy. Imagine the amount of coconut wireless that went out through the city, through all the people. That coconut wireless communication of word of mouth. This man healed leprosy. My son is sick. Let's get to him. In verse 44, chapter 1, it said, Jesus healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. You see, this coconut wireless got around quick to everyone in that region. Now, everyone that was sick, or every person wanting to know Jesus Christ's whereabouts. Why? Because they wanted life. They wanted wholeness of the body. Today, if Pastor Shane's house, today if he had a visitor, because Pastor Shane lives in Gilbert, if he had a visitor at his house that can heal cancer, you think everybody in the world would be trying to get over there? It would be this quick. He's over here in Gilbert, Pastor Shane Davis' house. That's how quick it was back then. There would be people flying from around the world. There would be people drive just to get there. Just to get healed from leprosy, from cancer, diabetes, AIDS. Remember, Jesus had in his ministry turned water into wine. John 2, verse 1 through 10. In that little town of Cana, which was in the district of where? Galilee. A town close to whose house? Peter's house. So the news got around fast that Jesus, the physical healer, is in Peter's house. Verse 2, it says, and straight away many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Not so much as about the door. Jesus, I love this, preached the word unto them. One, it was a full house up to the door. Two, no more room was left in the house for anyone to come in. We were not told of the sermon. Oh, I bet that was a beautiful sermon that Jesus preached. It must have been inspiring, because you could only stand outside the door and try to listen on what our Savior was saying. You see, if that had happened over here at Pastor Shane Davis' house and he had that visitor over there, how do you think the roads would be? The sidewalks? The cars would be parked up on the grass. Pastor Shane's neighbor would be like, your people are parking on my grass I just mowed. You see, they didn't have parking back then, but they still filled that house because they wanted to see the physical healer. They were captivated by the word preached to them, and suddenly something dramatic took place that inspired them more. Let's go through it slowly, shall we? Father, Lord God, that anoint your words, Lord. I am not worthy to be up here, Father, but there is a purpose and a reason that only you can reveal through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit be about this house and about your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 3. And they came unto Jesus bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of five. Huh? Sorry, sometimes, okay, you know, it downloads slowly, but it's still a working tablet. Yes, born of four. The news of Jesus Christ's presence in Peter's house reached the sick man, and four paramedics brought him to Jesus on a stretcher. Those four were his friends. This is the sick man's only hope of healing. But you see, brothers and sisters, the man was not desiring for a physical healing. Sometimes when we get a sniffle, sometimes when we scratch our arm, or if we get a headache, or we're not feeling well, we look to our physical healer here. What is it, Medicare? HMO, HPPO, whatever, the doctors. But see, with them, we have to call them up and make an appointment for next week because they're out of town golfing. And then you have to go over there and sit for an hour of interview. Go in the room and sit for another 2 hours. So the doctor can come and say, few minutes. This paralytic man, he wanted to see Jesus for something else. You see, he didn't care about his decaying body. He heard of the wonderful works of Jesus. He was told that others as sinful and helpless as he had been healed. Even lepers had been healed. Desire of Ages 2:6-7. The paralytic man determined to see Jesus for another healing. That reminds me of Daniel when he purposed in his heart that he would not partake of the king's meat and wine. Verse 4. I apologize. Every time I get ready for a sermon, the devil's always attacking. In some way or another, he's always attacking up until the point I get to that door. Verse 4. And when they came, they could not come nigh unto Jesus for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The Bible tells us that they broke up the roof and lowered the sick man. Question. Whose idea was this to go through the roof? Was it one of his friends? Like Job and his friends telling him, or his wife telling him, say this or say that. End it. You're going through too much pain. End it. Say something. Was it like that? Was it their friends that took the paralytic man? Was it their idea? Say, come on. You're my friend. I got to take you up to see the healer. Whose idea was that? At his suggestion, his friends bore him to the top of the house and, breaking up the roof, let him down at the feet of Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, this is the determination we need. That though we are laid up on these beds this world has us set up on, we have to search for Jesus. You see, up until this, I didn't know it was the paralytic man's idea. You want to know why the paralytic suggested to take him through the roof? Yes, it was not physical restoration he desired. So much as relief from the burden of sin. If he could see Jesus and receive the assurance of forgiveness and peace with heaven, he would be content to live or die according to God's will. The cry of the dying man was, oh, that I might come into his presence. Oh, that I might come into his presence. There was no time to lose. No time. You see, sometimes when we're feeling sick, we're going to hold off. We're going to tough it out. We're going to ride this out until we feel better. And then it gets worse and gets worse when you could have went to somebody, a physician, something, and gotten it taken care of. There was no time to lose. Already his flesh was showing signs of decay. He besought his friends to carry him on his bed to Jesus. And this they gladly undertook to do. Desire of Ages 2:6-5. The paralytic man wanted to get spiritual healing. What kind of healing? He wanted to hear the assurance, as I would like to hear the assurance, of forgiveness of sins that would be good enough for him. Even if he was to die, what a wish and desire. Just to hear the assurance of forgiveness of sin, that should be every person's desire. Every man, woman, and child. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, how I pray to hear that voice say that to me, Jesus. This was the healing that the sick man was desiring to receive. He was satisfied with it. The spiritual healing was what the sick man was hoping to receive, and Jesus healed him spiritually. This is the most important healing anyone could ever have. The sick man was ready to die physically. It did not matter to him if he was healed physically. Why? He would rather live eternally after the resurrection than to live another 10 to 50 years here on earth and not have eternity. What does Matthew 16:26 say? But what does a man profit if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? Jesus saw their faith. They did what the sick man told him to do. They broke the roof. Did the man repent before his sins were forgiven? The Bible teaches us that forgiveness is not given to any unrepentant sinner. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. They did what the sick man told them to do. They broke the roof. While the paralytic was yet at home, the Savior had brought conviction to his conscience when he repented of his sins and believed that in the power of Jesus to make him whole, the life-giving mercies of the Savior had first blessed his longing heart. Jesus had watched the first glimmer of faith grow into a belief that he was the sinner's only helper. You see, a lot of times, when we're not feeling well or we're in our mind, we won't go to Jesus. A lot of times we'll be like, hey, I've got a problem. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Or we'll watch the tube and we'll see what Oprah has to give us. Or we'll call Dr. Oz and see what he has to say. Because if it's on TV, it must be. Yes, it must be true. But see, we'll turn our nose up at thus saith the Lord. What did he say? Oh, he said something. No, Danny didn't say anything. The Bible said. The Bible says. Danny doesn't have the smarts to come up here and say something of his own. So he'll read what thus saith the Lord. And they'll seek healers and tarot cards. Oh, yeah, and they'll get the horoscopes and the newspapers and say, should I go to work or should I go to the doctors today? Continuing. And he has seen it grow stronger and stronger, every effort to come into his presence. Now, in words that felt like music, on the sufferer's ears, the Savior said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Isaiah 2:6-8. Verse 6. And 7. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? A few things we need to know about this verse. The scribes were part of the crowd in the house. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, nor the Son of God. They said in their hearts that what Jesus said to the sick man, your sins be forgiven thee, is a what? Is a blasphemy. According to the scribes, what Jesus said requires what? Death. The scribes said in their hearts, and the scribes did not say those things audibly. Did you hear me? Nobody heard what they said. No one. No one knew what they said. The scribe said, who can forgive sin but God alone? That is correct. Only God can forgive sin. The two grievous sins the scribes claimed. How many? That Jesus committed. The sin of claiming to be able to forgive what? Sin. And the sin of claiming to be what? God himself. John 10:33 says, the Jews said to Jesus, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou be a man, makest thyself God? Huh. Jesus did something miraculous that proves him to be God. Verse 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? I tell you, brothers and sisters, if I was standing here with my brother Steve and somebody in the corner of a room, and we were just looking and didn't say anything, came up to me and said something like that, oh, I would get goosebumps. Jesus read their hearts. God alone can read the heart. of a person. And Jesus read the hearts of the scribes and what they said. By this time, it should have dawned on the scribes that if Jesus could read their hearts or their minds of what they were saying, then he himself must be what? Therefore, he has the right to forgive the sins of the sick man. Verse 9. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You see, Jesus declared himself as God who can forgive sin. Since Jesus can read the hearts of the scribes of their accusations of him as blasphemy and not God, thus he is now ready to prove it further, that he, as the God who created mankind and heaven on earth, and heaven and earth, has the power and right to forgive sin when one confesses it. When a word was spoken by Jesus, the healing virtue went out. The healing virtue went out. Now watch this. Verse 12. And immediately, y'all didn't catch that, did you? And immediately, because what happened to him at the beginning? He was brought down on that stretcher. Immediately, he arose. Hallelujah, have Lord. Have mercy. He arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch that they all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Desire of Ages says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. It required nothing less than the creative power to restore health to the decaying body. The same voice that spoke life into man created from the dust of the earth has spoken life to the dying paralytic. And the same power that gave life to the body had renewed the heart. He at creation spake and it was, who commanded and it stood fast, has spoken life to the soul dead in trespass and sins. Page 269 to 270. First, he was healed spiritually, then followed by the physical healing. The paralytic's physical healing was the visible confirmation to the unbelieving scribes that the sin of the paralytic man was forgiven by Jesus. When Jesus said, your sins be forgiven, the scribes could not see the spiritual healing. Why? Because it is an inward healing that no man can see. No man can forgive sin except God alone. I built up this paralytic man. Because I wanted to share with you all that there is no time to lose. You see, I wanted to drive that point home of the man who sought Jesus. Though he could not walk, he couldn't even crawl, he still made it to Jesus. And y'all are probably wondering why the title is called, Have You Found Your Oil Yet? Germany, 2001, 2009, December 1st, institutes Sunday as a day of rest. Israel, what did I say? Considers Sunday as a day of rest. December 5th, 2011. That was 3 days ago, if we're speaking biblically. We have no time to lose. Now hear this, brothers and sisters. In 2008, the Pope spoke at the United Nations. Everybody know what a gazelle is? The gazelle that run free in Africa. Man has found a way to hurdle these gazelles. They get out in the open fields and stuff, and they'll see and they know where these gazelles are. And so what they do is they'll put people out there in the bushes. And did you guys see how the children came through here like this? They funneled this way and they funneled that way. They find these herds of gazelles. And so miles down, they'll set up this funnel system. That when the children, you saw them coming this way like this? What they do is they have this helicopter. And they'll start way out here. You see, and these gazelles don't know this. But there's people to the right of me and people to the left of me over here like this. With drums. And so when this helicopter gets up in the air and starts chasing these gazelles, and these gazelles are fast, mind you. Even cheetahs have a problem catching them. And cheetahs run 60 miles an hour. 70. Thank you. Thank you, Angela. 70. That's why I love this church, because if I'm wrong, they'll prove me wrong. And I praise the Lord for that. And when this helicopter gets up and it starts chasing these gazelles are running their hearts out. And they're just running and running. And then we go to the right. These people out here in the drum. And they'll start herding them to the left. And then when they start way too far to the left, and these people out here with the drum, until they can funnel them down to where they have to set up funnel like this, like a corral. And see, these are running as fast as they can. The best the way they can run. Straight into a truck. Is how these gazelles are being herded. I have family in almost every denomination. And there's no bad people in every denomination. Trust me, I have family. They're good people. They're God-fearing people. But they're being herded into a national Sunday law. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you. When the Sunday law is heard, the voice that says at midnight, go ye out to meet him. In Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.
You see, it's not a literal voice. It's a prophetic voice. That when Sunday law passes, the whole church will wake up and say, let's go. Let's have a Wednesday night meeting now. Let's go. Let's go to church. Have you found your oil yet? Y'all ain't seeing it. Y'all ain't seeing it. There's no time to lose. The paralytic man found his oil. The whole church, and now everyone wants to have a meeting. Give us of your oil. On Wednesday night. They want to fill the church up. Give us of your oil on Sabbath. You see, I used to think that these wise women were foolish because they didn't want to share. Not so. Not so, lest we have enough for us. Testimonies, ministers, and gospel workers. Page 233. Now is a time for the careless to arise from their slumber. Now is a time to entreat that soul. That souls shall not only hear the word of God, but without delay, secure oil in their vessels with their lamps. That oil is the righteousness of Christ. It represents character. And character is not transferable. No man can secure it for another. Each man must obtain for himself a character purified from every stain of sin. Now this paralytic man found his oil. But he had to go through the roof to get his oil. I was always taught, visit the prisoners, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Did Jesus do that? Did Jesus feed the hungry? Did Jesus minister to the prisoners? Of course he did. But y'all know where he fed, where he clothed the naked? Come on, church. Y'all know where he clothed the naked? I didn't know that. But the Lord revealed it to me. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. He ministered to the prisoners on the cross who are dying for you and me. He fed the multitude while giving him the word. And in Luke 8, verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Verse 35 says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what is the next word? Clothed. In his right mind. Because he found his what? His oil. And they tell us to go buy of us our own oil. Where do we buy our oil? Revelations 3:18 tells me, I counsel to buy thee of my gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see, I can tell you of the world, of how the devil tried to sell me oil. Oh, he didn't try. He had me dealing his oil. Because I was out there in the nightclubs and the bars pushing his oil. Not knowing the pure organic oil, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is telling us we don't need money. We don't need material to buy his gold, his oil. Jesus is telling us to surrender ourselves. We just need to give ourselves to Jesus. Because I had slumbered for a long, long time. But I thank the Lord. You see, because somebody in this room, the Lord wanted to hear this message. Because the devil, oh, he worked on me all week, all the way up until I got to that door this morning. I kid you not, brothers and sisters. That's how bad the devil worked on me. To the point to where I didn't want to do this sermon. To the point that I wanted to get back in the car and go home. But I thank God that his son gives us victory. It's not my decision to go backwards. My only decision is to go forward. You see, because I used to come up here and I would stand and I say, I never asked for this head elder position. Never once did I ask for it or petition for it or look for it. I never asked for the head deacon position. Never. But I became head deacon. And then I became head deacon, head elder. Together. Oh, foolish, foolish mind of man. See, I would always tell people that I didn't ask for it. But lo and behold, 6 years ago, when I turned my life on the devil, around to Jesus, and I prayed a simple, humble prayer of, Lord, I'm here to do your will. I'll only help you get two people, Lord. Is that enough? I'm giving you me. To do your will, to do your work. Because I've served Lucifer for far too long. I know the havoc and the devastation he does and he can do. But I know the more sure word that you give us. And you see, you have to be careful what you wish for. Because that was my little feeble mind. But the Lord said, this is my work for you. Have you found your oil yet? Brothers and sisters, we have no time to slumber. Each and every one of us, man, woman, and child, will be coming under this or that. But I urge you, find your oil in Jesus Christ.